Bethany,
can't believe.
I know we're supposed to be doing a commercial for Monk Pack right now, but even just thinking about Monk Pack, I had to go to my pantry to get a bar, a granola bar, because, ma'am, I'm addicted to these things. And my favorite is the almond butter cocoa chip. Oh, my God.
So you're eating a Monk Pack keto granola bar, which I'm jealous because I ate mine already. They're all gone. They're gone. If you've never heard of Monk Pack before, you're going to love their keto granola bars. While Kathleen eats one in the corner mm-hmm. while we're supposed to be doing a commercial, I will tell you.
It's so good, Bethany.
Our poor listeners with misophonia have already turned this off. Monk Pack keto granola bars, they have just 1 gram of sugar. But the thing I love about it is that unlike other low sugar products, they don't have that hyper sweet flavor. And they also don't leave a weird taste in your mouth like other low sugar products sometimes do. These are just genuinely delicious.
And I'm a little bit picky when it comes to my granola bars. And I love these so much because like you said, Bethany, it's not that like overly sweet taste. And I'm always trying to eat healthy snacks. But when a healthy snack does not taste very good, I'm like, oh, I hate my life. But when I eat a Monk Pack keto granola bar, I'm like, yes, I love my life.
They don't break and burst into a powder when you try to eat them. They have this soft, chewy texture. They feel so decadent. They have these amazing flavors like coconut cocoa chip, peanut butter, and blueberry almond vanilla. I'm a peanut butter girl, always will be. And that's why I don't have any left.
And they're perfect for like a quick breakfast or a snack between Zoom calls or, you know, even dessert at night because it hits that spot.
Yeah. And if you're going to eat your feelings, you might as well eat your feelings and be happy about it. And that's why I love Monk Pack. So try it for yourself and you will see. Plus, we have a special deal for you. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering our code TASTE at checkout.
And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer.
So to get started, just go to munkpack.com and select any product, then enter the code TASTE at checkout to save 20% off your purchase. Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious food you can count on. We thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your cozy mystery watching, house decluttering. Apparently, every tube of lip balm and bottle of lotion I have are all empty this morning, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Haney, your drinking in public, but in a very subtle and classy way, pumpkin painting, apartment gardener friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, I am talking about protecting your home from a robbery. Ooh. And all the ways that robbers case your home and ways that make you more vulnerable to a break-in.
That makes me so scared because I listen to the Let's Not Meet podcast a lot. And a lot of it is like, I forgot to lock my back door and now a man is in my room.
Yes.
Or finding out that people watch your schedule and watch your comings and goings to learn what you do every day is so frightening to me.
Bethany, I'm going to say something and you repeat after me, okay?
Okay.
Don't open your door.
Don't open your door.
What's on your plate this week, my friend?
I am going through some of my favorite spooky season movies because we've had a lot of people ask for our recommendations. This is in no way an exhaustive list. This is just a list of movies that came to mind this year that I'm enjoying and that I feel like maybe you've seen some of them or maybe you've written them off.
Yeah.
That it's time to look back, or maybe you've seen them and it's been a while. And you need some good old-fashioned, I don't know, The Faculty in your life. And we're going to talk about those.
Oh, my God. Remember The Faculty? Is that Josh Hartnett?
Josh Hartnett. John Stewart.
Is that Katie Holmes, too?
No, she was in Teaching Mrs. Tingle. She was also in one Disturbing Behavior.
That's, oh my goodness.
Uh-huh.
I can't wait to see the new Halloween movie, the Michael Myers movie.
I haven't seen it yet because it's on Peacock and I don't have Peacock. Do you have Peacock?
No. And Neil, that's like, he put his foot down a couple weeks ago, so I couldn't finish watching Girls 5 Eva. He's like, we are not getting Peacock.
Yeah, I have to figure out a way to watch it. It's not doing well with reviewers.
Oh, really?
But,
oh,
No. Fans of Halloween love it because I think we're just happy to be back in that world. I will support Jamie Lee Curtis to the end of the world.
Love her. I'll eat her yogurt any day.
I'll eat her poop yogurt any day of the week. I'm happy to support. So, Kathleen, you are recording from a different room today in your house, which I see because I see a lamp I've never seen before in the background.
Yes.
Do you have guests with you? What is happening?
I do, Bethany. And you know what? Recording from my bedroom, I think the sound quality of this podcast is going to be better today because I have the camera strategically tilted up so you can't see the clothes that are all over my floor.
And but so they're sound dampening.
There's some sound dampening. Yeah, but I have guests staying with us for a whole week from out of town. And let me tell you, you know, when you try to hype up the area that you live in and then you take people out and then the weather is terrible and like nothing fun is going on and you feel bad because you're like, I live in this cool area. And then it's literally like the worst time you've ever had.
Oh, no. No. So you're trying to show them a good time in Hoboken, but there's no Sinatra festival going on?
No, Bethany, it was the absolute opposite. Hoboken was literally a peacock ruffling its feathers for my out-of-town guests this weekend. We went out on Saturday. It was a beautiful day. We walked through the park like children were playing. It was like beautiful neighborhood noise. We walked through a neighborhood block party. Then we went to the waterfront and the sun was shining and there was like a four-piece brass band with like with a tuba playing like old-timey jazz music and there was a vintage fair. I mean, it was...
There was this reminds me of, I want to say it was an episode of like Full House or Step by Step or something from TGIF. Mm-hmm. And one of the little girls didn't want to go to bed because she was afraid that every time she went to bed, the family did something really fun. And they were like, we never do anything fun. We just sit and read. You're not missing anything. So she finally agrees to go to bed. And then this confluence of events happens where like a cheerleading tryout comes over to their house for some reason. And there's like a group of musicians. And a magician comes in. It's all completely like by chance. But the little girl comes down. She's like, you liars. This is amazing. And they're like, this never happens.
That was me showing my guests around Hoboken this weekend. I was like, Hoboken's not usually like this. Hoboken is showing off for you today. But anyway.
Yeah, that fun stuff never happened when I lived in Hoboken. It was just a bunch of strollers and people yelling at me. People yelled at me all the time when I lived in Hoboken. I have no idea why. I would just get yelled at when I walked down the street.
Really? Why?
Yes. One guy yelled at me because my phone brightness was on really high. And he was like, nice fucking brightness.
Are you kidding me?
What is wrong? Yeah, I think I just didn't fit in. I think I just like, didn't fit in.
Were you wearing offensive t-shirts all the time? Like,
no, I was the one person not wearing an offensive t-shirt in Hoboken. Maybe that's why.
So what's new with you, my friend?
Oh, my God. I had a bit of a breakdown over the weekend. I had to get some headshots taken. I hate getting headshots taken. Yeah. I hate having to look at myself in a realistic light and not being able to just do my angles because we all know our angles so well. Mm-hmm. But you don't always look like your angles. So
no, you never look like your angle.
No, I know. So I have to look through. I'm dreading looking through the shots we took because it's going to be like, oh, that's right.
I feel you, baby girl.
I'm monstrous from all angles except the one that's up and to the right. So so I'm nervous.
A friend was recently telling me a story about how when they were getting engaged, someone was pretending to take a picture, but they were really taking a video. And kept turning her soon-to-be fiancé to, like, get her better angle. But it totally didn't matter because it was a video. But he was, like, trying to get down on one knee. And she's like, no, what are you doing? That's not my right angle.
It's true, and it's so embarrassing when you, like, see it, when you see yourself on video really just trying to pull off the best angle for yourself, but it's true.
Or when you and your friend have the same good angle, and you can't, you have to battle it out when you're taking a group photo.
Friendship over. If we both, because it's my right side. What side is yours?
I think it's my left side.
Perfect. We can be best friends forever.
Yeah, we can. Mm-hmm.
If it's two right sides, then that's the end of the friendship. Nothing can happen.
I always end up somehow, I'm like, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to get in the back of the photo. And everybody, all my friends are taller than I am. So I'm just like on my tippy toes with the hugest smile, but my chin's up in the air because I'm trying to be taller than everybody else.
Group photos, I'm always in the back. You can never see me. Everyone looks so happy. And then you see my forehead and my hairline. and left. I never show up. I've never been in a group photo where you can really see me very well, because it's also the shortest people are always in the front, but then they're like, and now get on your knees. And it's like, well, then let's have the tall people in the front getting on their knees and the short people in the back.
Sometimes I'm wearing an outfit where I don't want to be on my knees.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And also, there's always that one person that takes over the photo.
Yeah.
That like stretches their arms out to make sure. And while everyone's smiling, they've opened their mouth.
Yes.
To be like, I'm yelling when everyone else is smiling. And it's like, okay, bitch, it's not all about you.
I do that. I do that now. I smile with my mouth open now because I think.
Like a Muppet?
Yeah. I think it makes like my double chin look less doubly.
We're all going to look back at photos we've taken in this decade and be like, we were all insane.
Totally
insane. We were all insane. My sister has a friend who she says he smiles like a Muppet, and it's true because his mouth is open when he smiles like Muppets do.
Yeah.
And his kid does the same smile. Like she inherited it. Nature and nurture, I don't know. But she also smiles like a Muppet where it's not teeth together or top teeth, lower lip. It's wide open. smile. It's Kathleen. It's bizarre.
Bethany, the look on your face right now, you are a really good actress because that is a Muppet spot on.
Picture your partner or your best friend's face, but instead of their face, you've put your hands in their mouth and now you've opened it like they're a Muppet. That's how he smiles. And Kathleen, it looks normal. It works for his face. And I don't know why.
It's like a ventriloquist, but the eyes are still moving from left to right, but the mouth is open.
It's Kathleen, you think it's horrifying, but it's so endearing and like whimsical. And I don't know how it works. And I wish I could post a picture of him, but that would be like, that would break a lot of boundaries and be hurtful.
What if you just like crop out his mouth and just post a picture of his mouth?
Wait, the whole smile is his mouth. That's the whole, maybe I can crop out his eyes and his nose.
Yeah. We all need a good lesson from Tyra Banks on how to smize. So therefore, no mouths are open anymore in photos going forward.
No, I know. Just smize. We should all be really good at it by now with all of the masking. So true. I don't know. We'll see.
True.
Yeah. Just text me on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm going to need emotional support because that's the day we're going over the headshots. Oh. And it's just going to be me going, here's everything wrong with me. Thanks, quarantine.
But you know what? Photoshop, Bethany, Photoshop.
Yeah, but then you don't get cast because they're like, you don't look like your photos.
Oh, really?
So you have to be like, you have to just like come to terms with.
Oh, yeah.
I have horns coming out of my head.
It's like going on a date.
Yeah.
When you say you're 6 foot and you show up and you're 5'6" and it's just it's lies, lies, lies.
Lies. It's just lies. But you know what? The whole industry is just lies. So maybe I should just, you know, start. I had someone say to me, when do the injections start, Bethany? Asking me when I'm going to start getting Botox.
Like, are you kidding me? No, you're not. You're joking.
No, I'm not. It's been a tough weekend emotionally. I'm going to say that.
Well, listen, if you want to go with me, we can ask for a 2-for-1 because I'm starting Jan 1.
No, you're not. You don't need them.
Jan 1.
Apparently, I just need to go to Hoboken because it's a party all the time and I'll feel so much better.
You're always welcome to come and stay with me, even though I know you'll never take me up on that invitation.
Gentle listener, if you love reading or listening to audiobooks, but you never know quite what to read next, Scribd is for you, my friend. Wired calls Scribd Netflix for books.
I can't tell you how much I spend on audiobooks every month, and I only get 2 books a month. It's ridiculous. That is why I loved Scribd. But not only do I get all of the audiobooks that I would listen to on my other platforms, I get regular books that I can read, ebooks, magazines, and Bethany, today I discovered that they have sheet music, so I can practice my ukulele using Scribd.
This is life-changing, Kathleen.
I know.
And I got really excited because, as you know, my sister wrote her debut novel Unscripted, and it came out last year. Well, she also read the audiobook herself. Her audiobook is on Scribd, so you can listen to my sister read her own book on Scribd. It's called Unscripted by Nicole Kronzer.
You can get magazines like People, Entertainment Weekly, Time Magazine, Out Magazine. Anything you want, they got it. Oh, they've got Cricut. I love Cricut. It's a kids magazine, but I love kids magazines.
And here's the thing. I hate programs where they're like, you get credits. We charge you every month and you get 2 or 3 credits, then you use a credit to buy it. No.
Yeah.
There are no complicated credits. There's no additional purchases. It's just $9.99 a month. And the world's most fascinating library is then at your fingertips.
Be a curious person. Do a lot of reading.
So right now, Scribd is offering you a free 60-day trial. That's so many books. So go to try.scribd.com/taste for your free trial.
That's try.scribd.com/taste to get 60 days of Scribd for free. Bethany, I've been really into true crime lately, and I know that I'm not like the first person to ever say that. But like, how about we experiment a little bit on the podcast and sort of like lean in to true crime topics, like have them more often?
You know that I'm all about this. You know I love the spooky stuff. You know I love the darker stuff.
Yeah.
You know I love the true crimes of it all.
Yeah.
I say yes to this. Okay. to this. I'm excited, Kathleen, because you have not always been a true crime person.
No, I haven't. But I'm really into the idea of preparing myself with every single true crime situation so I can come out alive and the hero.
Yeah, it's all about don't trust anyone and always carry bear spray.
Always carry, always.
Always.
Okay, so before I get into the nitty-gritty of how to protect yourself from burglars breaking into your home, I'm going to repeat what I said in section one.
Okay.
Do not open your door.
Ever. I don't care if it's your mother.
Ever.
And you think you recognize her and she's holding a casserole. That casserole is just a smokescreen for the fact that she's about to rob you blind.
An open front door is the way that robbers most often get into your home.
Why is your door unlocked?
Yeah, always keep your doors locked. And so what really drives me nuts is that I say this now, but there have been times in the past where I've totally opened my door, not even thinking about it. In my old apartment, I heard someone jiggling with keys outside trying to break in, and I just got up and opened the door like a big time idiot. And it was the guy who lived above us. He was totally drunk and he thought he was at his apartment.
never open the door.
No. And the other day in the apartment that I live now, someone knocked on the door, which is weird because you need a key fob to get in.
Yeah.
And I opened it. Like,
Kathleen,
Why? Packages go downstairs. They don't even come up to the house. I opened the door and it was like, hey, are you interested in cheaper energy? And it's like, no, get out of here, dude.
No. How'd you get in?
And the good Samaritan in me is like, oh, you know, I'm just going to leave them alone. And then I saw one of my neighbors down the hallway falling for it, like talking to them.
No, I know it's awful. And like, being nice is not going to get you anywhere when it comes to staying alive. This is what I've learned.
Okay. Because, you know, robbers, they will pose as they'll be like pretend salesmen of utility companies. Sometimes they'll dress up in nice clothes and print out like on nice paper a questionnaire. And they'll ask you to take a questionnaire.
They have props?
Yes, they have props. Sometimes there'll be someone who pretends to need to use the toilet or a handyman offering free repairs.
Hell no. No. First of all, someone offering me free repairs, that's an insult. Why do you think I need something repaired? You think I can't take care of my own home?
Yeah.
Second of all, what's in it for you if it's for free? Probably assault.
Yes, exactly. Someone who wants to clean your carpets without you calling them first? No. Get out
of here. No one chooses to clean carpets for fun.
No.
You always do it for fun and profit. No profit, you're getting the profit somewhere else. Assault.
And here's another thing. They'll be like, oh, hey, I'm taking donations for care packages for soldiers. So then you're like, oh, okay, I've got some, I don't know, unused plastic utensils or whatever.
The soldiers love that.
Or socks or canned goods. And you turn your back, you leave the door open because you're going to be right back. And then that's when they gain entry to your house.
Yeah, and it's not for the soldiers. It's for assault.
And let me tell you, most scammers, most burglars, they knock on the door to make sure that no one is home before they break in.
Oh, wait. So then we should open the door so that we know that they're... Because otherwise...
No, you yell from the other side. You say, I'm not falling for this. Get away from my door. I'm calling the cops.
I still think there should be a dog app because apparently, you know, burglars are afraid of dogs. They don't like dog barking.
Mm-hmm.
There should be an app where if you yell like, my dog is coming, it's like Siri. She's listening. The phone hears it and then a dog starts barking.
Yeah.
It's a dog app. Someone invent that.
It's funny you say that because I was reading this article. A news station in Idaho went to the local prison and interviewed 86 inmates who were in there for burglary, and they said a big dog is a deal breaker.
Again, we don't deserve dogs. They're the freaking best. I want a Tibetan Mastiff. They're the size of the rock.
A Tibetan Mastiff?
Kathleen.
Oh my, that's a horse.
They grow up to be horses.
Not very well known science fact. Big time horses start off as Tibetan Mastiffs, and then they go into a cocoon like a caterpillar and come out different.
Why do they not teach us that in school?
I don't know.
It's true.
And also I heard that like sometimes burglars will take pictures of your home. So if you ever see someone outside your home taking photos.
Oh, Kathleen, I am embarrassed to say something.
You sometimes stand outside of homes and take photos?
I do, because I think they're really pretty and yeah. I like something they've done.
Yeah.
And that explains why sometimes I get dirty looks from the windows.
Yeah,
I thought it was just because this was an unfriendly part of the neighborhood.
No. And I remember when I was younger, somebody was doing this outside my parents' house and my dad went out and he's like, hey, dude, what you doing? And the guy was like, oh, I'm a painter. I'm just looking for homes for inspiration.
Bull. He's looking for assault.
Also, joggers. Sometimes a burglar will pretend to be a jogger and he'll just do loops around your block so they can get a better look at your home.
Again, the jogger needs to have a better track. If you're a jogger and you're just running loops around my neighborhood, you're a dumb jogger.
So are we supposed to do, hey, joggers, I've never seen you before. Are you trying to get healthy or are you malicious thieves casing my house? Like, are we supposed to say that to everybody that runs by?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes, we are. And they have to answer honestly. That's the rule according to the law.
So I don't want to alarm you, but I know I've already alarmed you. In the United States, victims of burglary have suffered, and this is just from the year 2019. This is straight off the FBI website. In the United States, an estimated $3 billion in property losses occurred in 2019 from burglaries.
So much property loss.
And 62.8% of all of those burglaries in 2019 were residential homes.
Versus like businesses?
Businesses.
You know what? I often don't even think about people burglarizing businesses. I just think about them taking the copper and then that's it. But like, I don't know. Yeah,
it happens, but businesses are more likely to have really good security systems or cameras set up.
That makes sense. And what are you going to take? A copy machine? You know.
I don't know. Computers, I guess. I
remember my church got burglarized once. They took all our pewter stuff.
Oh.
And I remember my church was really excited about their new pewter stuff because they kept saying we need more money for all the pewter stuff. And I was like, pewter seems a bit much, but okay. And then it got stolen.
Why don't we just go with like a nice brushed stainless steel?
Yeah, I don't know. Why do we need pewter? We need pewter.
You know why your church was probably broken into? Because the doors were freaking open. Because God likes his doors open.
Yeah, Jesus wants everyone to come in. But Jesus is like, okay, but Jesus seems like it's important that he got pewter.
Mm-hmm.
And then why not lock it up?
Exactly, because Jesus trusts everybody, but you can't trust everybody.
You can't trust everybody, clearly. He hasn't been on this earth for a long time.
I know.
For roughly 2,021 years.
My first instinct would be like, oh, burglaries happen at night, you know, in the darkness of the night. Incorrect. Most burglaries, according to the FBI, they happen midday, like late morning. Early afternoon while you're at work or out running errands. And for some reason, there's a spike in the summer.
Oh, you would think that wouldn't be the case because
people
would be home, like teachers and kids would be home.
But like maybe in the summer, people are more likely to have contractors around their house doing work. Or
that makes sense.
You don't need to wear a heavy coat or heavy boots, you know?
That makes sense.
Most burglars are in and out in under 10 minutes. So that means, and I'm going to go over the steps with you to protect your home.
Okay.
Every step you take to slow them down is well worth it.
So a laser grid.
Exactly.
Cans in front of the doors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like those fly traps, but on the floor. You know, like, marbles.
Like in Home Alone when you put all the ornaments underneath the window.
Paint cans. Paint cans over the stairwell.
Okay. So burglars, they case your house and they look for vulnerable spots. So like how often do you really walk the perimeter of the house or the building you live in? Probably never.
Never.
You're out there, you're hanging out, you're mowing the grass, you're barbecuing, but you're not really looking for vulnerabilities. So you need to look at your home with a burglar's eye. Like easy access low points, like basement windows that they could easily break in and get in. too. Yeah. Like, do you have shrubs, overgrown shrubs that could protect someone from the outside seeing them break into your house?
Oh,
things like that.
Crap. And that's not good.
You got to look in your windows because you need to avoid having expensive electronics in plain sight. Like, just an easy view from your window.
You know what? From my kitchen window, you can see my KitchenAid mixer. It's right here, Kathleen.
And that is so expensive.
Even though I got it on sale, they don't know that. And it's the icy blue one.
I know. I better put my Vitamix in, like, an encased box because, God forbid, that is, like, the most expensive thing I own.
I know. Huh. Everything else is pretty cheap.
I own a heavy table, but they'll throw their backs out trying to get that thing out of my apartment. So
yeah.
It was nice. It was from Canada. The Canadians made this table, and I spent a lot of money on it.
They know what they're doing, and they're polite about it, too, you know?
So you really need to think about shades and curtains.
Yeah, you taught me well about blackout curtains and the fact that, Umbra?
Umbra makes those great curtain rods where you can have, like, the lighter curtain and then the heavier curtain because there's two rods connected to one thing.
And then there's, like, blackout curtain rods that are, like, curved so that the blackout curtains go all the way to flush with the wall.
Yeah.
So that no one can even peek to the side of your blackout curtains.
Okay, but also here's something I read. Burglars in high-end neighborhoods, they look for telltale signs that people aren't home. Like, do the lights, are they on a timer? Do they go on and off at the same time every day? And are they going on and off while the shades are down, you know?
Oh, God.
So really, you need dummies inside your house, just like Home Alone, just like Kevin McAllister taught us.
Yeah.
And then you need to set the timers on your lights to go off at different times every day. And then on top of that, you need mechanical shades that you can access while you're not at home.
So you need a robot home. You also need some dumb friends to act as bait and hang out in your house.
Yeah.
So that if someone comes and steals in the night or in the day, apparently, it's not going to be you. It's going to be your dumb friends who are, like, hanging out.
Or if you have a pet sitter, ask them to come at different times. You know, schedule them for different times.
That's great.
That's great.
Okay. This is all very useful because I tend to forget that they're doing research on you.
Yeah.
And watching the timer of your lights.
Yeah. And don't put leaf tools around your property or a freaking ladder unlocked up in your backyard because they're going to use that ladder to get into your second floor.
Or third floor. I don't know how tall your ladder goes.
So
I'm not in your heart.
34% of burglaries, all they have to do is twist the front doorknob and walk right in. 34%.
Lock your doors. I listen to a true crime podcast and the person is like, I live in a town where no one locks their doors, I want to punch them in the throat.
No.
Like, everyone who has the internet now should be locking their doors.
We got a voicemail from a taste bud not that long ago because you and I were talking about how you can't sleep with the windows open.
Yeah.
And this taste bud is like, well, I live in Wisconsin and I sleep with the windows open. YOLO.
She posted a picture in the Facebook photo too. And she was like, oops. She's like, I get it. Mm-hmm. But
she's like, I have a big dog. Here's the thing. Burglars will carry dog treats in their pockets to make a dog shut up. And they'll just give the dog a bunch of treats. I know.
Can't even trust your dog.
No. 23% of burglaries happen when a first floor window is open.
You can't see me,
mm-mm,
but I'm angrily looking at that taste bud in my head.
I know.
Just going like, shut your window.
22% come in the back door. 9% come in the garage.
Lock.
I know.
Your doors. The garage is a tough one because if you don't lock that side door that, you know, is next to your garage door, most people don't lock the inner door inside the garage that goes straight to the house. So if you forget to lock that outer door, full access.
Here's the thing. I want locks that I can, you know, like for my phone, I can be like, oh, did I lock that? I can't remember. I go into my phone and every single door in my house locks.
That, I mean, I'm sure they make that. Don't they make smart locks?
They do. But okay, I was watching an episode of Station 19, which is that, like, Grey's Anatomy spinoff about the firefighters.
Okay.
Okay. And they were responding to a fire in a home. This divorced couple, they were yelling at each other and they were throwing each other shit in their fireplace.
And the dream, house, frankly, the dream.
The house caught on fire. And so the firemen were like, okay, we're going to access the house through the garage door. But the woman was a cybersecurity expert. So she had like all of these fancy locks. And once the locks heated up, they malfunctioned. So the firefighters, the garage door went down. And the firefighters, because they like punched in the wrong code or something, got caught in the garage between the house and the garage door. And they were running out of air. And it was like really tense.
That's too stressful. You watch that show for fun?
I do.
That's too stressful. This is why it's like we don't trust machines, but we need to trust machines, but we can't trust machines. They'll melt.
And then I think about it, like, what if I'm running from danger? What if I'm out for a jog, casing somebody else's house?
Yeah, of course, in the daytime.
And they're like, hey, I recognize you, you malicious thief. And then they're chasing me and I have to run back home. Yep. And then I drop my phone and I have electronic locks and I can't get in my front door and then they kill me.
You know how I feel about something that only works if there's an app for it.
I know.
Like my speakers that only work if you control them with the app.
Yeah.
Like that's, now you're useless to me because now you're just like a chunk of plastic or metal that I can only use if my phone is in my hand. And you know that I'm not good with my phone.
Bethany, I experienced that firsthand this weekend because my phone was broken and my guests were here and I wanted to seem fancy. So I was like, oh, Alexa, play some jazz on my Sonos in the living room. But then I couldn't control the volume because I didn't have my phone.
Fuck you, Sonos. Get some buttons on your machine so I can control you from the outside.
For your windows on Amazon, you can get these like little, it's like two pieces of plastic and you tape one to the windowsill and one to the frame. And if the window is opened, it goes rawr, 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 rawr.
Ooh, that's good.
They're really helpful until they start to malfunction. And then you just, because, you know, they're cheap. So
yeah,
it might be worth looking into a company like, I don't know, ADT.
You know what else works if you don't have kids or pets?
Mm-hmm.
Hot glue
and
shattered glass. You just hot glue glass to your windowsill. So anyone who tries to open your window and puts their hand or feet down on the frame to get in, they're going to bleed. Now you got DNA and a screaming person. It's easy to find them.
It's funny that you say that because that Idaho news station who interviewed all those burglars, they said they are less likely to go in a window because you're going to cut yourself on the glass.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another hot tip, grow thorny bushes like rose bushes under your easy to access windows and then put gravel also in spots where a potential burglar might get in so you can always hear him coming.
Oh, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
What else do they say? This is good. I'm writing this down for the days when I'm allowed to plant my own flowers.
You need to install double key deadbolts. So two keys. Deadbolts sometimes come with two keys, like two deadbolts in one lock unit.
So do you and another person have to be turning them simultaneously, or it's just like you need to turn one key and then another key?
Yeah, one key and another key.
Oh, so it's not like a nuclear weapon?
No.
Okay, I'm just
not
picturing like you and your partner staying next to each other, one, two, three, and then you both have to turn it at the same time.
No. And when you're going to Home Depot, don't get the cheapest door. You may be on a budget, but you know what really breaks a budget? Having everything you own stolen.
Yeah. And I'm also going to say when you're designing your home, don't put a long window next to the door.
Yes, exactly.
Those things scare the hell out of me because now you see a shadow standing outside and also they can see if you are standing there trying to like sneak up or down the stairs to get out of danger because you're there for what? Assault.
Assault. And then they can also break in and just put their arm through that window and unlock the door. And so if you are in a rental or in a home that already has that window, one of the tips I read is that you need to install another lock on the floor, like one that a home invader cannot reach.
Oh, that's really good.
And one of the easiest and absolute best things you can do is to install good lighting around your property and also motion detectors, because that's almost like an immediate deterrent for somebody trying to break into your home.
Yeah. As someone who used to sneak around in high school, like I would sneak to my favorite teacher's house and like put things on their lawn. I had a real weird way of showing my affection.
Yeah.
Like motion detecting lights, motion activated lights are scary.
Yeah.
Because now everyone sees you're sneaking.
Dark spots are a burglar's best weapon. Invest in a home security system, like aside from hot gluing broken glass to your windowsill, like, you know, a security system.
They're easier than ever to get. There's so many.
And if you have sliding doors, you need to fix those sliding doors with the sliding stoppers.
If you have sliding doors, you need to build a wall. Or get some of those ice glass blocks that you, Kathleen, hate so much. But those things are like impossible to get through. And you can't, like.
They are.
Just, why do you have a sliding glass door? Why does anyone have a sliding glass door? It's like, welcome, burglars. Come right in. You can see everything we have. And it's an easy way to get in.
I often think about, what's the thing that people used to put on their steering wheel for their cars to protect them?
The club.
I often think about inventing something similar like the club but for windows, but you do it in a really classy way. So it's like, you know, unpolished brass, so it'll have a nice patina over time.
Oh, beautiful.
You know, and so it's not these like black iron bars that are really ugly.
Yeah, no, but it's also not like controlled by your phone so it can just stop working. It's like a beautiful latch system, like something that goes over your window and also braces the bottom part of your window from the top so it can't be lifted.
Yeah, and then maybe you can like hang plants on it or something.
Sure, yeah.
So charming.
It's like a metal on the inside, macrame on the outside, you know?
All right. Another good suggestion was like put your timer on the lights, but as we learned before this, you got to vary the lights. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a really inexpensive way to create the illusion that someone is home. And burglars, when they were surveyed, said that they would never break into a home where they heard this.
Okay.
You got to leave the radio or the TV on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. That makes sense.
Got to leave it on because once they hear the noise, they're like, oh, shit, someone's home. And burglars, more often than not, they don't want to get into a physical confrontation with somebody. They just want to steal your stuff and get in and out in under 10 minutes.
It's kind of amazing how lazy and yet filled with the investment of time these burglars are. Like, they don't want to stand in a rose bush.
No.
And they don't want to, like, get into an altercation. But also, they're willing to spend days and days and days and days watching your house to see what time your timers go on and off.
I'm a huge fan of Ring cameras. I have purchased so many Ring cameras over the past couple of years. And let me tell you, some people are like, oh, I'm not going to get a Ring camera because the password can be hacked and then people can look at my baby and stuff. That usually only happens when your password has been hacked from a separate website and you use the same password for everything.
Yeah. And also put a different name on your account. So like if your name is, you know, Beverly Mitchell and you start in Seventh Heaven, like put your Ring camera account under something else.
As Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, Susan Sarandon. And now they won't know. There's no way they'll know.
Exactly. Like my last name is Heaney. Your account shouldn't be like the Heaneys at 45 West Smith Street or something. You know? Don't do that.
Imagine.
Use your damn brain. Idiots.
The tomfoolery of it all.
It's tomfoolery. Okay. Let's see. What else is on my list to save your life and keep your home safe?
Is there anything about the weaponry you should have at hand, or is that for a different day?
Oh, okay. Let me scroll down. ADT says you should become friends with your neighbors. I say a hard no thank you to that.
It's just hard when your neighbors don't have good, like, boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they're over all the time. They're always over.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, hey, let's be friends so you can protect my home when I'm not there.
Yeah.
You can collect my mail because, you know, mail piling up is a big no-no for burglars.
Yeah, totally.
And they also look for trash cans that have been left out because it means you're not home, that kind of stuff.
That's why you just don't take out your trash.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Okay, so you're talking about weaponry.
Yeah.
Burglars who were surveyed said that if you have something like an NRA sticker on your car, like on your bumper, it doesn't deter them from breaking in. It's like, oh, hey, there are guns in this house and I'm going to break in and steal them because they are very valuable.
Okay, you're a dummy if you're breaking into a house that has an NRA sticker on the car. You're a dummy because, yes, the guns are probably worth money, but also you have a higher likelihood of being shot in the throat.
Yeah, but the guns are probably locked up.
That I've never understood.
It depends on the type of gun. Like if it's a hunting gun, it's probably locked up, you know? But
yeah.
And also people with small children, they got to keep them in a lockbox. They're not carrying it on their hip. I mean, I guess it depends the state that you live in.
Probably. But like, yeah, you definitely, if you are a gun owner and you have children, you want the ammo to be in a different locked box than the gun. But then if someone comes in the night in the dark, you're screwed.
Yeah. And your hidden valuables, you probably should just have a safe for that stuff. because burglars, they know they're going to look in your shoes. They're going to look in the cereal boxes. They're going to look in the freezer. They go straight for the primary bedroom because that's where most people keep their stuff. But they're going to look everywhere. So just get yourself a dang lockbox.
So they're not going to be fooled by me putting it in mm-hmm. the bottom of my canister of flour.
Yeah. Also, newspapers piling up. Don't let that happen.
Yeah.
An empty driveway. One website I read said you should get an extra car and leave it in the driveway. But I'm like,
sorry.
Who has money for an extra car?
For
get
a just-in-case extra car?
Oh,
I'm not paying insurance on a just-in-case extra car.
My favorite home invasion deterrent is an empty coffee can filled with coins in front of doors and windows.
What does that do? Just like they accidentally kick it over?
Yeah, well, if the window opens, it falls over, and then you know. And then you've made a loud noise, and then they're like, I'm going to run away.
The tough thing is that so many of these homemade deterrents are also things that cats can knock over,
mm-hmm.
and that's where it gets really tricky, because I have motion-sensing lights in my kitchen, and in the night, in the dark, Minerva sets them off all the time.
Yeah.
And so we always wake up in a panic and then it's just the cat. But one of these days it's not going to be just the cat, but then we'll be caught sleeping.
Okay. So that is a really good example of things you can do, Bethany. Those motion sensing lights that I bought after you bought them, they were not expensive. You can put those around your home to deter mm-hmm. someone from breaking in.
Totally. Yeah. And they're battery activated and they just like clip anywhere. There's no wires.
And if you get a bad feeling about a strange car on your street, call the dang police. Because not too far from me, after Hurricane Ida, there are these two men posing as contractors, like seemingly looking to fix up homes, you know, for people with flood damage. And they were actually burglars. And the only reason they were caught is because a neighbor was like, hey, this weird commercial vehicle that I don't recognize is on my street.
Ugh. Vans are never good.
Vans are never good. All right.
I don't care if it's a Honda Odyssey. I don't care what it is. It's not good. Something hinky's going on in that van.
Okay, let's talk about robbers who are also idiots to wrap this up. You ready?
Okay, yes.
There was a case of a man stealing a car that had a built-in GPS. It also had a built-in internal camera for thievery. Well, the thief had a huge tattoo of his name and his birth date on his neck.
Amazing.
Two robbers were robbing a bank and someone called the police and is like, they have their face painted and they're driving away in a white car. So the police found them. And when the bank robbers rolled down the window, they had used permanent marker to draw mustaches on their faces.
Bless them. You know what? Bank robbing is probably the only job they could get because they're so dumb.
A Russian robber broke into this salon. The woman who owned it was 28. The guy who was breaking in was 32. Well, she captured him and kept him in her salon for 2 days and used him as a sex slave, feeding him Viagra. And then when she finally let him go, he went straight to the hospital because he had a torn frenulum. Yes, exactly. Frenulum. And the police are like, how did this happen? And he's like, this woman kept me as a sex slave. So then they went to go arrest her. And she's like, but he broke in as a robber. And now they're both facing prison.
In Soviet Russia, victim assault you.
So, Bethany, I have house guests right now.
Yes, you sure do.
And my friend Michelle, when she came out of her room this morning, the first thing out of her mouth was, I need a giant glass of Liquid IV.
Great, because we love Liquid IV.
Call me a Liquid IV pusher or whatever you want to. But my house guests, they're now addicted to Liquid IV just like I am. And I'm not sad about it.
Liquid IV has become an essential part of my daily routine. It's this little stick of powder that hydrates you faster and more efficiently than water alone. So you just take it, you pour it into your water. You mix it, and you drink it. I drink it every single morning before I go for my old lady walk. And anytime I work out, I do a Liquid IV both before and after because I just want to get that hydration level up.
Neil does it every day after he gets off the Peloton. And when I have that afternoon slump where I'm feeling tired and I'm feeling a little bit snacky, but I know my body's not hungry, I do my Liquid IV, I drink a bunch of water, and I feel so good and energized for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Liquid IV has five essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange and as much potassium as a banana, but you don't get that gross smack you get when you eat a banana, which is why I don't like eating bananas either in public or alone.
And it's healthier than those sugary sports drinks. There's no artificial flavors or preservatives, and it's less sugar than an apple.
And if you're Kathleen's cousin and you can't eat anything because you're sickly, it's also non-GMO, vegan, and free of gluten, dairy, and soy.
Yes, Ginger loves Liquid IV without having to go to the hospital because she's allergic to everything.
Everything. By the way, Liquid IV is donating 4 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military.
Yeah.
And Liquid IV has donated over 11 million servings globally. And we've talked to people who work at Liquid IV, and they're so nice. Like, we really do love this company so much.
Watermelon is my favorite flavor lately. I will stand by that forever.
I love their strawberry. Can't get enough. So grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TASTE at checkout.
That's 25% off of anything you order when you get better hydration today using our promo code TASTE at liquidiv.com.
Kathleen, I think Halloween and Christmas are the two, the holiday season are the seasons where we really turn to movies the most. You don't get a lot of people going like, oh, I need some sweet, sweet 4th of July movies.
You know what? I never thought about that. That's really interesting. Like, the Easter doesn't have any good movies.
Yeah, not anything that comes to mind. Or, you know, there's like one New Year movie. There's like New Year's Eve, and then there's like New Year's Evil. And then we don't just like turn to movie. I think it's because it's, in theory, chillier out.
Yeah.
And we're like hunkering down and we want to watch some stuff.
Though I do know somebody who broke it off with a significant other, or not a significant other, somebody that they were casually dating, because that person was like, hey, do you want to stay? Neil's in the background. Do you see him? Neil, what are you doing?
I'm getting pajama pants or shorts or something.
Oh, all goodness. I see is that ass up against, looking at the camera.
Oh my goodness. All right. I do know someone who was dating someone very casually and then broke up with them when on the 4th of July, he suggested that they stay home and watch 1876 as like a festive thing to do. She's like, nah, I want a hot dog and fireworks. I don't want to watch 1876. Get out of here with that.
I totally would have watched 1876. Fireworks are just not for me. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to give some movies that I'm really enjoying that maybe you haven't seen or you've forgotten about. Yeah. I am assuming you've seen the Friday the 13th and Halloween and Scream franchises. Like, I'm skipping over those because that's like different.
That's child's play.
Well, and sometimes literally child's play. But like, these are some of the movies that maybe you've overlooked.
Yeah, and you're the horror movie queen. You are the aficionado.
At least of this show.
Yes.
And so these are ones I've loved. Okay, so first of all, The Innkeepers. Kathleen, have you seen this movie?
No.
This is a movie from 2011 that I just adore. If you love a scary movie that takes place in a haunted hotel, and you're locked in and creepy things are going on, but also you really want to like the main characters, this is for you. So,
Lena Dunham is in this
she
movie.
She doesn't even get a name. She plays the annoying barista who they are avoiding. She plays it perfectly.
Okay.
So it stars Sarah Paxton and Pat Healy. Sarah Paxton is amazing in this. They both are.
Yeah.
So they're these two young employees of the Yankee Peddler Inn.
Of course it's called that.
Yes.
Of course.
And it's like a New England old hotel that it's just so, it's like quaint and it's a lot of Victorian wallpaper and Victorian couches, and it's a little rundown.
Yeah, mixed matching florals everywhere.
Totally. There's a piano for no reason. And the premise of the movie is that the hotel it used to be amazing and grand, but now it is closing. This is its final weekend open. No one else is at the hotel except Sarah Paxton and Pat Healy and like one other guest. And they start ghost hunting. And that's all I'm going to say.
That sounds so good. I'm looking at the poster for this movie, and it's gorgeous. This is, yeah. I'm putting this on my list. Thank you, Miss Bethany.
The Innkeepers. You can watch it for free on Amazon Prime or Peacock or Tubi if you're willing to watch commercials.
Hello, everyone. Dennis Callow here with an interruption. Just wanted to let you know that on Amazon Prime, The Innkeepers is actually $2.99 and it's not available for free. And I know this because I was the one who rented it for us this weekend to watch. And now back to the show.
Okay. I love Tubi.
Yeah, except you were like mad at Tubi on your Insta stories this weekend. You're like, F you, Tubi.
So mad at Tubi this weekend because we were watching Nicolas Cage's Season of the Witch, which is a wonderful movie and deserves far more acclaim than 11% on Rotten Tomatoes. And Tubi kept buffering because we tried to stop and start. And that's one thing. You can't stop and start on Tubi. Like, if you try to pause it, it's going to get confused. Tubi's going to get confused.
Ooh, that's like an olden day experience when you had to run to the bathroom and the commercials were on.
Yeah, Tubi gets confused, and if you try to fast forward or rewind, Tubi is like, I don't know what to do now, and it freezes, and then it just shuts down, and you have to start over from the beginning.
Okay, so, good tip, hot tip.
Yeah, hot tip. All right, Grave Encounters.
Oh.
This is such a good movie from 2011 also.
Okay.
Feel free to skip Grave Encounters 2.
Oh.
But Grave Encounters, the OG, is great. So here's the premise.
Okay.
The movie starts, Kathleen, we meet the producer of a reality show called Grave Encounters. But the problem, Kathleen, the show was canceled after just 5 episodes due to the small problem of the entire cast and crew going missing.
Okay, yeah, that is a huge problem.
It's a big problem. So then, of course, the producer shows us the found footage of their final episode filming session.
Was it a grave encounter?
Kathleen, it was a grave encounter. So the host of the show, Grave Encounters, is named Lance Preston.
Ooh.
And it's the actor, Sean Rogerson. He's doing an amazing job doing a Zach Bagans vibe, like douchey, all in black. At one point, every member of the crew stands on the stairs of this abandoned building looking really badass for the camera, like we're ghost hunters.
Like, yeah, we're in a band.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're in like 30 Seconds to Mars, but like ghosts. And the cool okay. I love this movie because I have no sense of direction and I get easily lost.
Yeah.
So my nightmare is getting lost in a building. If that is also your nightmare.
Oh my God.
This movie is freaking delightful. Yeah. It's delightful anyway. If you love Ghosty Boys, like if you love any of those ghost hunting shows, this movie does such a good job, but it's also legitimately frightening.
Remind me to never invite you to a corn maze.
No, I will never come out alive. I won't. Corn mazes are so scary to me, Kathleen, because they are truly a threat. They might be fun for others, but to me, they are truly a threat. It's like if you give a dog chocolate, you can't give BB a corn maze. I won't live.
Bethany.
Okay. Not good.
Well, speaking of Zach Bagans, did you hear the voicemail that we got from A Taste Bud last week?
No. What happened?
Zach Bagans has a show on the Food Network.
What?
Okay. I think it's about Halloween cakes. Hang on. Let me.
Wait. I do remember this. Wait. I think we also got a tweet or a text or an Insta or something about it.
Yeah. He is the host of a Halloween Wars season 11.
Season 11.
Yeah, I'm so happy he's branching out.
I like him. He's very much grown on me. Okay, the next motion picture. Kathleen, if you're like, I need a scary movie, but I also need me some David Caruso, this movie is for you.
Oh.
Or if you love abandoned insane asylums.
Oh, I love abandoned insane asylums.
Yes. Or if you're really passionate about the idea of asbestos removal, this movie is for you.
Okay.
So this was about this man played by Peter Mullen.
You didn't tell the name of, you didn't do this, the title of the movie.
I'm so sorry. This is the movie Session 9.
Oh, Session 9.
From 2001.
Nine. What happened to Sessions 1 through 8?
Oh, you'll find out.
Okay.
Oh, you'll find out. So Peter Mullen plays the owner of an asbestos removal company. And he is having a really hard time emotionally because he had some kind of fight with his wife. We don't know what it was.
Oh.
But he has a new baby and he needs money.
Uh-huh.
So the people who run this defunct asylum are trying to get bids from different asbestos removal companies to see who will get rid of all this asbestos.
It's a thing. When someone inspects your home and they're like, asbestos, then you can't sell it.
Yeah, exactly. So Peter Mullen's character because he needs the money so desperately, he says that he and his guys can clear out all of this huge asylum's asbestos in 2 weeks, which basically undercuts all of the other bidders and guarantees that they're going to get this job. However, he's setting them up for failure because there's no way they can get all of the asbestos out of this building in 2 weeks.
That's the problem. Yeah, that's like, I don't know, Bethany, you telling somebody you can get out of a corn maze in 5 minutes. Not going to happen.
There's no way. I'm setting myself and them up for failure.
Or me telling someone I can get my house clean in a day. Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Or when you're like, I'm traveling tomorrow. I'll be packed in time. It's not going to happen, Kathleen. No. So there are a handful of guys working on this asbestos removal team, including David Caruso and Josh Lucas.
Oh, Sweet Home Alabama, Josh Lucas.
Yep. And then, Kathleen, there are tunnels under this asylum.
No.
And then Josh Lucas goes missing after going into one of these tunnels. That's what I'll tell you.
This is exactly why I did not go to Northeastern in Boston, because
too many tunnels.
There's too many tunnels to get from building to building, which they thought was like a really cute accoutrement for the students, because then they didn't have to like walk out in that harsh Boston winter.
Yeah.
But people get killed in tunnels, and that's why I chose not to go to that
school. That's a good reason. That's a good reason.
They put me on the wait list.
Also, they didn't want you. Okay, so there's also that.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was your choice. They didn't fire you. You quit.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Also, you know that trope in horror movies of someone running down a hallway and the lights are turning off as they run down the hallway?
Uh-huh.
This movie does that the best I've ever seen it done.
Really?
It's the scariest I've ever seen it done.
Because darkness, as you know, hot spot for burglars and also a hot spot for the paranormal.
Exactly. They love the dark. Burglars and the Paranormal, which is a new show coming up on Peacock this fall. Burglars and the Paranormal. They can't get along. What will they do?
I would legitimately watch that.
I would too. You can rent Session 9 for about $4 on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Google Play, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera.
Ooh, $4. That's a deal, honestly.
Yeah, it's great. All right. Pumpkinhead. This is from 1989. If you are like, I want a creature feature, but also I'm really mad at teenagers and aggro boys right now.
Yeah.
This movie is for you.
Oh, aggro boys were the rage in 1989.
Oh, yeah. And it was just a thing that guys were like. And now it's like, oh, no, that's actually frightening and sometimes dangerous. So this was from 1989, directed by Stan Winston. You might know Stan Winston for his special effects makeup, which he did on movies like, you know, the Terminator series, Jurassic Park, Edward Scissorhands, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
A lot of makeup effects. But this was his first time being a director, and it's great.
Ooh.
So this is basically a movie about how badly we can want revenge on someone. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that these teens, at the beginning, do something awful.
Yeah.
And the person left over wants revenge, and Pumpkinhead is a demonic monster that is raised up to get revenge.
Oh.
And that's what I'll tell you. So there's like the parent, like the supernatural is involved. There's a witch. there's teenagers that you want punished. There's like there's deep emotions. It's got a lot in it. It's so emotional. It's like spooky. It's really badass.
Yeah, the movie post, like a quick Google image of Pumpkinhead the movie. The movie poster is terrifying.
It's a real, I mean, it's the visual of just everything are so good.
It's like if Gremlins met the alien with a head that's a pumpkin.
Pumpkinhead's scary.
Also, I have learned today that there are stock images of really stylish women doing like the peace sign in their cool fall skirts and outfits with pumpkins over their heads. Also, sometimes people do engagement shoots where they're wearing pumpkins on their heads.
That's amazing. I love a themed engagement shoot. There was one like a decade ago where they photoshopped in dinosaurs chasing everyone. So they were like happy, and then they were all screaming terrified from dinosaurs. That's the kind of engagement shoot I want to see. I don't want to see your shoes standing next to each other. I want to see you running away from a dinosaur.
Yeah. You know, it's when people announce that they're having a baby, and it's like dad's big shoes, then mom's medium shoes, and then baby's little shoes. I'm like, that kid's still not gonna be able to wear those shoes for 3 years, so what's the point?
That's false advertising.
Yeah.
Those shoes are too big. That baby won't keep shoes on their feet. That's why you have the shoe socks.
And what if Nike Air Forces aren't in style when that baby is ready to wear those shoes? Then you have an unstylish baby.
Oh, so gauche. Your baby's so gauche. Okay. The Good Exorcist. I have to say, I'm a little partial to this movie because I am friends with the people who made it. But it is so freaking delightful. It is from 2018,
yeah.
The Good Exorcist. It is directed by Josh Stifter. If you're in the mood for some good old-fashioned blood spattering.
I always am.
Yeah. But you don't want anything too scary. Maybe Pumpkinhead is too much for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't want anything too emotionally gutting.
Mm.
But if you've always wanted to see a teddy bear just beat the living hell out of a fully grown man, you want to watch The Good Exorcist. This movie is like so lovingly made. It's low budget.
Yeah.
It takes place after the best exorcist is killed during an exorcism. So the good exorcist has to take his place.
Oh, and the good exorcist is probably like, ugh, why did you have to die? I was so happy just doing my own thing.
Yeah, just being the good exorcist. But now he is the one who gets called. He goes to a creepy, desolate motel in like the desert because they've been experiencing hauntings.
Yeah.
It's practical effects. It's not CGI. It's like there's an actual teddy bear actually on top of the star, Daniel Degnan, who's
That's
like
amazing.
6'5". So it's like, it's so good. It's so funny, but it's still got a lot of blood and gore, but nothing. It's not like scary.
Like
that makes sense.
Horror light.
Yes. You can watch it for free on Tubi.
Oh, okay. Just don't tag or blind it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it'll get real confused. Otherwise, you can rent it on Amazon Prime Video or Apple TV for 99 cents.
Oh, I think I'll do the renting up for the 99 cents to have that like stop and play feature.
Yeah, you know, and you're going to pay the artists.
Yeah.
Kathleen, The Faculty.
Love this movie.
Did you realize that The Faculty was directed by the same guy who directed Machete and Once Upon a Time in Mexico and From Dusk Till Dawn?
No.
Robert Rodriguez directed The Faculty in 1998.
That's when I fell in love with Elijah Wood, 1998.
So good.
He's so cute.
So good.
Okay.
Okay. If you're in the mood for a 90s teen slasher and you also miss Jon Stewart, or if you miss Aliens, or if you're craving seeing teens from different social groups come together to solve a major problem while also learning something about themselves along the way...
Or
you're going to love this.
If you want to see Usher before he became a big a-hole.
Usher.
He's in this, isn't he? He's in it.
He sure is. Usher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Robert Patrick is in this. Bebe Neuwirth, the queen, is in this. Piper Laurie from Carrie and Twin Peaks is in this.
Jordana Brewster?
Yep.
Love her.
It's great. Basically... The faculty are like bodies snatched and all these teens have to find a way to save themselves and their town. It's a lot of everyone wearing Letterman jackets and being alone at night in the locker room and having to hide behind lockers and like all of that liminal space school stuff.
Yeah.
The swimming pool at night and in the gym, all of that good, just like late 90s stuff about teen movies that... You know, it's like, it's very of a time.
There's nothing better than a horror scene in an indoor swimming pool, like a school swimming pool, where it's like lit from the bottom. So it's it's glowing. And then the space to walk around the pool is, I don't know, it's no bigger than 4 feet.
Yes. And it's dark.
And
there's no lights.
Oh, my goodness. And then you fall in and you're struggling and you're thrashing. And then someone's like, here's a random plug in the pool area. Let me throw in a toaster that's plugged in.
Yeah. Like the electricity isn't working on the lights on the ceiling, but it is working for the lights in the pool because every high school has a lit pool from within. And also this one outlet near the wall with this toaster that's here is working perfectly well, too.
Okay, little known fact about The Faculty, it was also written by Kevin Williamson, who is responsible for my favorite show ever, Dawson's Creek.
And Scream.
Yes.
So I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Mm-hmm.
He's iconic.
Genius.
So if you have not watched The Faculty in a while or ever, you need to watch The Faculty. It's a friggin' delight. Okay, one more.
Okay.
Before two honorable mentions.
No, you didn't. You did honorable.
I did.
Okay.
The Lodge. I've talked about The Lodge before. Came out in 2019. It stars Alicia Silverstone and Riley Keough.
Oh.
And this is upsetting.
Yes. I've actually seen this one.
You have?
Yes, I have, because you talked about it and then I rented it after you talked about it.
What did you think about it?
Oh, it's amazing. It's so good.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, I love Riley Keough. I think she's fabulous.
Brilliant. She's so good. This is great if you want a chilly, we're stuck in this lodge in a snowstorm movie.
Yeah.
Because it's just them stuck in a lodge in a snowstorm movie. And reality starts to become questioned.
Mm.
And it's really upsetting. If you find people who are deeply, deeply, deeply religious, if you find that a little bit unsettling sometimes,
yeah,
this movie is for you.
And also, it's a beautiful winter movie. Gorgeous scenery.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Beautiful, upsetting, lonely, scary, unsettling. So good.
Being alone in a lodge, in the wilderness, in the snow, there's nothing more terrifying.
It's awful.
I challenge you to come up with something more terrifying than that.
There's nothing. I tried just now in my head. There's nothing more terrifying.
Exactly.
Okay. So I'm going to do 3 honorable mentions really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want a capsule show where, like, you just want one episode of a show that takes place that's creepy, but also, like, in the mood of, like, getting into the holidays.
Yeah.
Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, the original series.
Yeah.
There's a Christmas episode where they go to her friend's hunting mansion and people start getting murdered according to the 12 Days of Christmas song.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So like 10 Lords of Leaping, like 10 men get murdered. I don't remember how it goes, but like it's a great episode.
What a creative idea. There's so many really brilliantly creative people in this world.
So many, I know. Mm-hmm. Okay, other honorable mentions. Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. This is the Halloween movie that does not have Michael Myers in it, except on a TV screen at one point, because Halloween originally was supposed to be an anthology series, not a Michael Myers series.
Oh.
So Season of the Witch was going to be what every other movie was supposed to be, its own story. However,
yeah,
it didn't do super well. So then people were like, we need Michael Myers back.
Mm.
Halloween 3 Season of the Witch is about this drunken, lecherous, but somehow charming doctor who's drunk all the time because you can just see him sweating in that really specific 80s way everyone was sweating.
It's his nose like really red and bulbous.
Yeah. And it, like, but he's still hot. Like he still gets it. He and the daughter of a woman whose dad was killed go looking for why dad was killed. It takes him to this sort of strange town that has a toy factory in it.
Oh.
And that's what I will say. It is so good. It is so endearing. It's fun. I love Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. Has nothing to do with witches.
Yeah. It doesn't?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Then why the hell is it Season of the Witch?
I mean, it's such a great title.
But there's no witches in it.
No.
Someone should be sued.
Okay. And also The Exorcist 3.
Okay.
You may not have seen these of the series because they've been poo-pooed. The Exorcist 3 is so freaking good. It's from 1990. Directed by William Peter Blatty. He's the guy who wrote the original book, The Exorcist.
Oh.
And was, like, involved in The Exorcist.
Today I learned The Exorcist was a book before it was a movie.
Twas. Indeed. It stars George C. Scott and Brad Dourif. Mm. Brad Dourif was in... He does Chucky's voice, but he also has this awesome role in the beginning of Urban Legends, the movie. He plays the stuttering gas station owner, if you remember that movie.
Yep, sure do.
He's so good in everything he does. He's so frightening in this. And The Exorcist 3 is probably the most famous for the scariest scene I've ever seen, which is the scene in the hospital.
Yeah.
With the nurse just walking through the hospital doing her rounds. And then out of nowhere, all of a sudden, a man in a sheet with a giant scissors comes after her. And it's like after a long shot where it's just been quiet. And all of a sudden, like, and this like sheeted man comes out. And it's so scary. That's The Exorcist 3. It's phenomenal.
Excellent recommendations, Bethany. Where can I watch that one? Do you know?
The Exorcist 3. I will link you in the show notes to all of these. I don't know offhand.
Hey, Dennis, insert where we can watch it right here.
Well, hello, everyone. Dennis Callow back again. And I just want to let everyone know that if you really want to watch The Exorcist 3 in its best form, watch the Blu-ray. Get the Blu-ray if you have a Blu-ray player. It's awesome because they have a 2-disc set, I believe, that has the original director's cut, and it's called Legion. and it is directed by William Peter Blatty, the author, and it is like the true version of his movie. It had really little to do with The Exorcist, but it's awesome. Other than that, you can watch it for free on Amazon Prime. You can watch it on Tubi. You can watch it on Vudu. It's out there. It's a great film, but I highly, highly, highly recommend the Blu-ray. And now, back to the show.
Ah, that's right. Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks. Thank you. Well, Bethany, this is an excellent list, and I'm going to start checking these off. I think maybe The Exorcist 3 is going to be the first one on this list.
It's so good. You're going to be deeply upset. So, Kathleen, I had to have headshots last week, and usually when you have something big coming up, you break out. Which is so annoying.
That's the way the universe works.
But because I've been using Apostrophe, my skin looked so much better. I actually had someone in my life ask me if I had just gotten Botox because my skin looked clearer than it's ever looked. The reason is because Apostrophe, which is the skincare that you and I are using, is so tailored for our individual skin that my skin hasn't been irritated by it. So I've been able to use it consistently instead of starting something and then having to stop and wait for my skin to calm down and then starting again. Apostrophe is perfect for my skin and it's making such a difference.
Gentle listener, if you've ever tried to make a dermatologist appointment and they're like, let's see, when do we have our next opening? In a month and a half. You're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I have issues right now. That has happened to me and I hate waiting. And so when we partnered up with Apostrophe, it's immediate. You get connected to a board certified dermatologist right away. They come up with a personalized treatment plan for you in just like a handful of days. And then they get it in the mail to you and you can start using your products, the same products that a dermatologist would prescribe to you in just a few days.
Yeah, and you are working with actual dermatologists. You're not working with a quote-unquote medical specialist. These are doctors who have real practices in the real world and are also helping you with your skin.
Like, I have adult acne, I have wrinkles, I have dark spots, and I have texture issues, and Apostrophe has really been helping me with everything that I need to combat.
I'm pretty sure I have a monster living in one of my pores. And Apostrophe was like, we got you. So we have a special deal for you. Save $15 off your first visit with an Apostrophe provider at apostrophe.com/taste when you use our code TASTE. And this code is only available to our listeners.
To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/taste, and then you have to click begin visit. Then use our code TASTE at sign up, and you'll get your first visit for only $5.
That's apostrophe.com/taste, and then use the code TASTE to get your dermatologist crafted treatment plan for just $5. And we thank Apostrophe for sponsoring the podcast.
I know that we usually save the end of the pod to talk about what we learned this week.
Yeah.
But I have some groundbreaking things I learned this week, and I just want to get it off my chest.
Oh, get it off your chest, girl. You've been holding it on your chest for the past 3 segments.
Okay, you know that magic saying when you're like, you can't open a door, and you're like, open sesame.
Yes.
It's really open says me. And over time, it's turned into open sesame.
What?
I know.
Open says me is awful grammar.
I mean, it's supposed to be like a magic guy, magic trick thing. Open says me.
Where did this come from? How did you learn this?
This is from a SpongeBob meme on Instagram.
Which is where I get all my information.
Okay. Also, I learned.
Wait, no, elaborate. Can you elaborate?
No, Bethany, it's from the account at Threads Mind, and it's on my Finsta. It's, you know, I follow all these stupid accounts with these carousels with like different screenshots of facts.
Threads
Mind.
Mind.
Now I'm gonna have to unfollow it so no one figures out what my Finsta is.
Am I like Threads, like M I
T H R E A D S Mind, M I N D.
Threads Mind.
Yep.
Okay.
I also learned that goats have accents and can't understand other goats from foreign countries because their accents are different.
That is insane.
I'm telling you, it's a good account to follow. Let me go to the next fact in this carousel. Okay. Capri Sun. Do you enjoy drinking a Capri Sun?
I did in middle school very much.
I like them because you squeeze real hard and your thirst is quenched in 2 seconds flat.
Yeah.
Okay. Where you put the straw in, that is the hole for the top, for the like the dot of the I in the word Capri.
I never knew that.
Yep. I've got more for you.
Okay. I'm still looking for that OG SpongeBob one.
Do you? Oh, but Bethany, the SpongeBob is the second carousel. It's like this picture of multicolored beverages with ice in it from September 14th. And it says today, I was 2 days years old when I found out. And then you need to scroll through.
Okay.
Okay. Do you know what the news, like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to catch up on the news. Do you know what news stands for?
No.
Notable events, weather, and sports.
Shut up. I don't know if I trust that these are real facts or someone made them up, but they seem so believable.
Do you know why Pinterest is called Pinterest?
Because you pin something of interest.
Oh, damn it.
I mean, that one.
Yeah, you pin your interests.
Yeah, you pin your interests. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the news one, what's our source for that besides ThreadsMind?
ThreadsMind, that is my only source.
But do they give their sources? This is how people get in trouble.
You know what? You're not incorrect. I'm like one of those people scrolling through fake vaccine facts or something.
Kathleen, you have to be so careful.
Okay, what does news stand for?
I too am Googling this. The news acronym is false, according to this. You might have seen this viral tweet saying news stands for notable events, weather, and sports, and the internet went wild. No, this is false.
Damn it, Bethany.
News, a report of recent events, previously unknown information, something having specified influence, blah, blah, blah. Here's the college student's original tweet, followed by a brief reply from Merriam-Webster. No, says Merriam-Webster.
Okay, let me look this up. Do goats have accents? Okay, I take back what I just told you. None of it is true.
Okay, but again, the SpongeBob one. What was the SpongeBob fact again?
The SpongeBob fact was Open Sesame is really Open Sesame.
Open Sesame.
Let's fact check.
What is SpongeBob saying in that to make it?
It's just a picture of him trying to open a door. And then above it, it's the text that says Open Sesame is really Open Sesame.
So Open Sesame, according to Oxford Languages, is early 18th century from the magic formula in the tale of Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves.
Okay. Well, literature.stackexchange.com says, we can safely conclude that it is not Open Sesame. Sesame is the name of a magic or a spell.
When Burton translated, so this is again from, this is from lifepile.com. So again, this is just a cursory search. This might be wrong.
Yeah.
The phrase was changed to open o simsim, which is the English translation of the Arabic word for sesame or sesame.
All right.
So it's Alibaba said this to open the cave.
All right. Let's see. Do goats have accents and do they talk to each other? Goats are social animals. Are relatively and closely related to sheep, but unlike sheep, they are not flock-oriented.
Unlike sheep, they don't have accents.
Goats communicate with each other by bleating, B-L-E-A-T-I-N-G. But what about their accents? Birds have accents or dialects. Domestic cow and sheep are different, though. I don't know. Gentle listener, do your own research. I can't tell you anything anymore.
So according to Wikipedia for Open Sesame, some other theories about the origin of Open Sesame. Sesame is a reduplication of the Hebrew sem, which means name, i.e. God, or a Kabbalistic word representing the Talmudic sem samjim, or shem Shemayim, name, which is name of heaven, or sesame is connected to Babylonian magic practices, which used sesame oil.
Okay, so today's lesson is that you cannot believe random facts that you see on Instagram.
No!
Because if you try and fact check them, they're most likely not going to be true.
For instance, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Same account. When a person cries and the first drop comes from the right eye, it's happiness. Left eye, pain. Both, frustration.
Bethany,
no!
I screenshotted that one, too, to tell you at a later date and time.
Kathleen, you cannot have actually believed this.
I feel like a boomer. I did believe it. Oh, my God. I'm so ashamed of myself.
You need sources. You always need to get sources.
Let's just start this section over, Bethany.
Absolutely fucking not. No way. No way. We're doing some more hard facts from this account. This is the best thing we've ever done.
Okay.
All right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going through. In France, milk is stored at room temperature.
I don't think that's true.
I don't know if that's true or not. Mm-mm. In Colombia, hot chocolate is served with cheese in it. Maybe that sounds delicious.
Oh, let me look that up. Colombia, hot chocolate cheese. Yes, Columbia hot chocolate does have cheese. There's recipes on it from the Foreign Fork.
That sounds great. I'd eat that. Sometimes mm-hmm. they just post funny tweets, which is great. This is, how come when a house is haunted, it's always a ghost from the 1800s? Imagine a ghost from 2007 screaming, "It's Britney, bitch," at 3 a.m.
Okay. Well, I had already said that to you on a previous podcast. I said that to you. I said, oh, I saw this thing on Instagram. It's Britney, bitch.
Do you want to know why a lot of our ghost stories seem to be Victorian in nature?
Yeah, because ghosts are very old.
Yeah, they are very yeah. old. But uh-huh. also, Victorians were poisoning the living hell out of themselves and hallucinating oh. because this was when gas was first brought into the home, like gas lanterns, gas lights. And one of the symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning is that you are hallucinating. So a lot of times when people are saying their house is haunted,
yeah.
the first thing you should do is do a carbon monoxide check because they may be poisoning themselves and seeing things out of the corner of their eyes. And also I think I've talked about this. There was another episode where we covered this, like the green in their yeah. paint and their wallpaper shield yeah. green was poisonous.
Yes.
So
yes,
they're
yes.
like inhaling anything that came off of this paint, or, you know, they're like heat is heating up their wallpaper and releasing this like awful poison oh into their lungs. They're this dying.
This makes like millennials very concerned about the VOCs coming from their paint look like nothing compared to that.
Yeah, they were like inhaling poison. It wasn't lead, but it was something. It was like arsenic or just like something awful that made this paint green. Anyway, that's why we get a lot of these Victorian ghost stories, because a lot of people were like high and hallucinating from all of this new technology coming into their houses.
Now, do I need to fact check this, Bethany? Like, did you always, get this from Instagram?
You should always fact check, because not only do I sometimes just tell you stories to make me laugh, uh-huh. sometimes I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm good at making it seem real.
Another one is factvids.com, because did you know that in Australia, when it gets very hot, the nectar in some flowers, it ferments, and then bees can get drunk by drinking the alcoholic nectar?
That sounds right, though.
Did you know that fish can suffer from depression just like humans?
Oh, that makes me sad.
Did you know that there's a city in North Carolina called Why Not? And it's named that because the residents were arguing over the name of the city and they were like, why not?
All right. I don't quite know what this account does.
Well, these are all my favorite accounts to follow. And then sometimes I'll often tell my friends and they think I'm so smart, but turns out I've just been spreading lies.
It's okay. Just always double check. You know, go to Snopes, go to your local news station. They sometimes have pages. Overmorrow, the day after or following tomorrow. Yesterday, the day before yesterday. Quidnook, a person who seeks to know all the latest news or gossip.
Interesting.
I don't know. Kathleen, so do you have anything else you learned this week, or is that about that?
Okay. I did learn something this week that has been fact-checked because I got it from my favorite website, newscientist.com. I learned that Iron Age miners, Bethany, their feces have been found. So feces that's 2,700 years old, they ate blue cheese and beer because scientists like went into their feces and were like, let's take a look at what's in here. And they found the same strains of whatever that are also found in blue cheese and beer. And so therefore the Iron Age miners were eating blue cheese and beer.
You know what? That makes actually a lot of sense because mm-hmm. doesn't it seem like those are both things that deal with fermentation
yeah.
or going bad.
Yeah, microbes
and,
that, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so it makes sense that you could, like, carry these things for long distances, and the things weigh in going bad is probably not as awful yeah. as other kinds of things going bad.
Just like yogurt. Yogurt was just milk that some Turkish sheep people were, sheep herders were saving in the stomachs of, dried out animal intestines, and then we learned that that's how yogurt is made and can stay good for a long time.
That's right. Okay, also, I would eat at a restaurant called Turkish Sheep People.
Turkish Sheep People. Bethany, no question. What did you learn this week?
I learned that it is really important to leave reviews for the things you buy, the companies you support, the shows you watch or listen to. I you know my feelings on Amazon, but I looked in all of my local stores for this thing I needed. No one carried it. And I was like, okay, fine, just Amazon. Okay. I ordered it, and with it came a handwritten note from the owner that said, please review us. We are a small business. We are trying to make ends meet. Please leave us a review. It would really, really help us. And it's signed like Kimberly or something. And I was like, you know what? I would never have reviewed this product before because it's just like a simple thing.
What was it?
It was a whiteboard. It was like just an easy whiteboard. Huh. And the note said, because we sell school supplies, we don't often get reviews because they're not things people think to review because they're just like, oh, it's a whiteboard, whatever.
Yeah.
So I went on and I reviewed it and I, you know, left 5 stars. And it just made me think about the podcasts I listen to. How many times do you leave a positive review? Mm-hmm. I leave reviews when I'm pissed.
Yeah.
At like the company or whatever. The hotel gave out my phone number to the whole lobby, but I'm not going to. You know, I don't think to praise the good ones. So
yeah,
this is just your reminder to praise the shows you love, praise the products you love, the small business uses you support. Like, go on, you know, whatever website it is that you can rate the businesses. Google.
That's the best place to leave a review because it's the first thing that comes up when someone's looking something up.
Yeah, definitely. It's another way to support a small business without necessarily giving money if you don't have a lot of money to give, which is where a lot of us are right now.
Oh, that's it. Well, in that vein, gentle listener, please rate, review, and subscribe this podcast wherever you're listening. Helps us move up in the ranks, and, you know, 5 stars is the best.
Absolutely. We are a small business. You can follow us on social media. Kathleen, where can people find you?
At Webgirl Kathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also follow our show on social media.
Yes, Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
We are Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group, The Secret Santa. Ooh. Is there a secret non-denominational holiday man? Gift-giving round is about to start for the end of the year, so make sure you sign up for that.
You can send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And we have a snail mail address, and that's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Leave us a voicemail. We play them at the end of almost every single episode, 917-994-0353.
And we have a Patreon. We do 2 live shows a month. The last one for October is coming up on October 28th. It's going to be all things scary. If you want to show up wearing a costume, let us know in the chat group and we'll invite you on stage and you can hang out and show off your very creative costumes and listen to some scary stories.
Yes, look us up on Patreon. And by stage, we mean Zoom. Yeah. There's no stage.
There's but, no you know, stage. I don't know why I said stage.
Yeah. And let's see. Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. He is a great follow on Instagram. His stuff is especially spooky. Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
All right, Bethany, do your thing.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. Molly here, longtime listener, first-time caller. I'm calling about the episode you just posted where Kathleen talked about placentas at the end. I think placentas are such an amazing organ. I am a birth photographer. I am not a parent, but longtime obsessor? No, we're not going to say obsessed. Appreciator of the human body and how magical birth is. And I photographed a birth a week ago, and the midwife, who's been in practice for 37 years, delivered the largest and thickest placenta that she has ever seen. It was amazing to witness. It was amazing to see. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Placentas are a temporary organ, and they're magical. So, so cool. So thanks for sharing the magic of placentas. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Michelle from Atlanta, and I am currently stuck in miles and miles of traffic, and I'm listening to the pod, and you guys were talking about hugging, and I am a school counselor, and so I hug probably 50 students a day at least. And one thing I always tell my students is when we hug, it's a time where our hearts can talk to each other. And so sometimes when I have kids that are feeling down, I always tell them that my heart is cheering up their heart. So that's all. I love hugs. I think they absolutely cheer us up, and I love listening to the show. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. So I just started watching Midnight Mass, and I was hooked from like the first 10, 15 minutes, whatever. But I would have appreciated a little heads up on the ending of that first episode. And, okay, so no spoilers. I would have appreciated a heads up. I got a little sad. Oh, our little favorite animal. It was real sad, but it's an amazing show, and I'm very excited that I'm watching it. Thank you for the recommendation. All right, good night, girl.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. It's Nika, your Eastern Pennsylvania taste bud. So I'm just listening to the bonus episode, and oh my goodness. So I have a story. This was before I married my husband, and we got engaged, right, after only a month of dating, which is crazy, I know. So my mom was pretty much grilling my husband, like, oh, what do you do for work? And he said that he's in IT. She goes, do you have insurance? And at that time, I think I was like 20, so I didn't have insurance because, you know, I pretty much was too old to be under my mom's insurance. And my mom deadass looked at me in her thick Filipino accent. She goes, oh my gosh, Nika, you should marry him. And she says that she didn't say that, but I know for sure she did. And two kids later, I'm married because of health insurance. I'm kidding. I love him. I really do. The insurance is just an added bonus. But yeah, I just wanted to tell you that story. It's actually pretty funny. So I'm just going to go back to listening to the episode. Bye, guys.
Hey, girls. This is Mabel, Seattle listener over here. A few weeks ago, a fellow taste bud and I made a wager. She had been listening to the podcast before I had, and I started listening when all of COVID started. So once everything started opening up, I couldn't get caught up quite a bit and never ended up catching up. But I started listening to it a few months ago again and have just been binging and binging. So her and I made a wager, and she said that I couldn't catch up. So she gave me roughly 150 days. So this is just a little update because she believes I can't finish it on time and catch up by February 19th, 2022. Currently on episode 210, and I personally think I can do it. So we'll see, Mayo, fellow taste bud Mayo. We'll see if we can catch up or not. I'll definitely call back and with an update and see. Wish me luck. First time caller, so I'm excited. We'll see. Bye, girls.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. It's taste bud Jessica. I just finished watching Children of the Corn, the 1984 version, and it was really good. And I love like the older scary movies because they're not like as scary anymore, you know, because everything's not as realistic. But one thing that I have to say, I feel like this is like a hole in the plot, is the fact that they have a murdered child in the back of their car for the entire movie. What? Just like true crime, like now, I'm like, you would never do that. These are my thoughts. These are my feelings. I just wanted to share them with you. So excited for the spooky season. Love you, girls. Bye.